The following two Mishnayos were already taught towards the end of Maseches Chulin, and they are based on the two different types of Hekdesh, holy status, which something that is designated to the Beis HaMikdash can take on. The first type is called Kedushas HaGuf, which is when the item itself is going to be used within the service in the Beis HaMikdash, for example, an animal which is going to be brought as a korban. If one designates that to be brought as a korban, since the item itself is going to be used, it has Kedushas HaGuf, intrinsic holiness and sanctity. On the other hand, if somebody designates something which is not going to be used itself within the service, for example, he designates an animal which has a wound, and so it cannot be bought as a korban, or he designates any item of value, such an item would only gain Kedushas Domim, which is monetary sanctity, meaning the value of the item becomes sanctified. However, there is no intrinsic holiness on the physical item itself. And what needs to be done in such a case is that the item needs to be redeemed by paying its value to the Beis HaMikdash, and then the money will gain the sanctity in place of that item. Now, if something was originally designated to take on Kedushas HaGuf, intrinsic sanctity, for example, an animal which is fit to be bought as a korban, and after that it becomes invalidated, for example, it gains a wound or a blemish once it has already become sanctified. Since it can no longer be bought as a korban and be used as part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash, it stops having Kedushas HaGuf, and now it becomes like a regular item which only has Kedushas Domim. Only its value is considered to be sanctified, and as such, one can redeem it onto money. And that's what needs to be done. Money needs to be given in place of the animal, and then they need to use the money to buy a replacement korban. The one who designated that korban would need to buy a new korban with that money. However, even once the animal has been redeemed, since it began at a stage where it did have intrinsic holiness, even once it is no longer fit to be used within the service, and it's been redeemed, it still remains sanctified to a certain extent. And that is really the focus of the next two Mishnayos, which ramifications that gives rise to, since the animal is not considered to just be a regular non-holy item, but rather it does still have some of the original sanctity that it had of Kedushas HaGuf, where the physical item itself is considered to be holy. Now, the Mishnah starts off by talking about Kol HaKadoshim, all of the animals which were designated to the Beis HaMikdash, which could potentially be bought as korbanos. However, Shekodamum Kavua Lekdeshon, the animal had a fixed wound, a permanent wound, before it was designated to the Beis HaMikdash. The truth is, it happens to be forbidden to designate such a korban, since already from the beginning it cannot be bought as a korban. But nevertheless, he went ahead and did this, since from the moment of the designation, it was not fit to be brought as a korban. So this animal never gained Kedushas HaGuf, intrinsic sanctity. Rather, from the beginning, it only had Kedushas Domim, the value of it was sanctified, and therefore all of the ramifications which we're going to see would not apply to such an animal. The Niftu, and therefore once the animal has been redeemed, it is considered to be a regular non-holy item for all purposes. And therefore, it would be obligated in the mitzvah of giving its firstborn to a koyein when the animal gives birth to its firstborn, uva matonais. If one slaughters this animal, he would be obligated to give the gifts of the front right leg, the jaws, and the stomach. That's the parts of the animals which need to be given to a koyein when the animal is totally not sanctified. And it's considered to be non-holy even for the sake of shearing it or working the animal. It's permitted to do that with the animal. And any animal which is born from that animal, as well as any milk which comes out of that animal, if it was born or came out of the animal after the redemption took place, then mutar, it is permitted to benefit from those. And they do not possess any sanctity. Vashechton b'chutz potter, one who slaughters this animal for the sake of a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, would be exempt from the severe punishment of kores, being, so to speak, cut off from Hashem for performing a service of a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That only applies if the animal was fit to be brought as a korban, but if it's a totally unholy animal, then the punishment would not apply. And Tamura would not apply over here. Tamura is when somebody has an animal which has been designated as a korban, and he makes a statement that he wants a different animal to be brought as the korban instead of the original animal that he designated. He's not able to do that, and not only that, but both animals would now become holy, and both of them would need to be brought as the korban. But of course that only applies to an animal which is holy and able to be brought as a korban, and therefore this animal which possesses no sanctity at all, the law of Tamura would not apply. The imesu, and if the animal dies before it was redeemed, this is like any item which had only kedushas domim, sanctity of its value, but not intrinsic sanctity and holiness. And if it dies, then yipodu, the dead animal can be redeemed, and the value of the money of the dead animal will be given to the Beis HaMikdash, and the animal will be fed to the dogs. There's nothing else they can do with the meat. The animal didn't receive a proper, valid slaughtering. And the point of the Mishnah is that it's not considered to be a disgrace to redeem it only for the sake of feeding it to the dogs, since anyway the item does not possess any intrinsic holiness. However, having said all of this, the Mishnah ends off, Chutz v'na b'chorim v'na ma'aser, except for a firstborn kosher animal. A firstborn which the mitzvah of giving it to a kohen applies, and Maaser Behema, a tenth of one's animals which he has to give to a kohen, even if these do have a wound from the moment they are born, they nevertheless are considered to be holy, and this is learnt from Psukim, which talk about these two gifts. Mishnah Gimel, now we're going to see the flip side of the list of the previous Mishnah. Kol shekodem ha'gishmas mumon, any animal which was first designated as a korban and only then developed a fixed permanent wound which invalidated it from being a korban. But originally, when it was designated, it gained intrinsic kedushas haguf, oimum oiver lehekdeshon. Or if the animal had a temporary wound before it was designated, a temporary wound does not invalidate an animal from being a korban, because as soon as the wound goes away, it can be brought as a korban. And therefore the animal would have gained intrinsic kedushas haguf, intrinsic holiness, and only later on the animal developed a permanent wound which invalidated it from being bought as a korban, v'niftu, and then it was redeemed. Once the animal gains a wound, then it can be redeemed. However, since it did have intrinsic holiness, part of that remains, and as such, the animal would be exempt from the mitzvah of giving its firstborn to a kohen. This even once it's been redeemed. And the gifts of the front right leg, and the jaws, and the stomach, it does not become unholy for the purposes of shearing it or working the animal. Those two acts are forbidden. And any children or milk which come out of that animal after the redemption is forbidden to benefit from. It also gains a certain level of sanctity. Anyone who slaughters this animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of a korban would be liable to the severe punishment of kores for having performed a service of a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the truth is, in the vast majority of cases, this would not actually be true, since the punishment only applies if one is actually able to bring that animal on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. Over here, we're still talking about an animal which has a wound and it's been redeemed, and this certainly cannot be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in general, one would also not be liable to the punishment of kores for bringing it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, there are very particular cases where there are very minute wounds that, at least according to one opinion, would not invalidate the korban totally, and as such, according to that opinion, one would be liable for slaughtering this animal as a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. As well as that, v'isin tamura, the law of tamura would apply if somebody says that he wants a different animal to be brought as a korban instead of this one. Then the law of Tamura states that that animal will become holy as a korban, but the original animal will also remain a korban, and both of them will need to be brought. And finally, v'imesu, if the animal dies before being redeemed, then yikoveru, the animal would need to be buried, and it cannot be redeemed for the sole purpose of giving it to the dogs to eat, because that's considered to be somewhat disgraceful to redeem this item which has intrinsic holiness only for the sake of giving it to the dogs to eat. Mr. Dalad, at the beginning of this perek, we saw that if there is any ownership of the mother or of the firstborn animal, which is owned by a non-Jew, then that animal would be exempt from the mitzvah of giving the firstborn to a kohen. One who receives an animal in an arrangement of Tzoyn Barzel from a non-Jew. Tzoyn Barzel literally means iron sheep. Sheep made of iron. And the idea is that it's talking about something which has a fixed value or a guaranteed value, meaning somebody essentially buys a whole load of animals from a non-Jew, and they agree that he's going to pay him within the next certain amount of time. And if there is any loss of the animals, if, for example, the animals die within that period of time, then the Jew will still need to pay the non-Jew. So the non-Jew is guaranteed to get his payment, and that's why it's called Tzoyn Barzel. It's considered sort of a fixed, guaranteed price. Be as it may, part of the arrangement is that during this period of time that the Jew has to pay, all of the children which will be born from these animals will be split between the non-Jew and the Jew. So this is essentially an additional case, like in the first mission of this Perek, where a non-Jew has a part ownership and rights over the children and over the firstborn, really, which are born from these animals. And because of that, Vlad is Peturin, any children, any firstborn children of these animals would be exempt from the mitzvah of Bechoyra of giving it to a Kohen. Now the truth is, the mission over here is talking about firstborns which are born from the children of these animals. Now this firstborn is not part of the agreement that the non-Jew is going to get half of the animals. That's only referring to half of the children of the actual animals which he is buying. Over here we're talking about a firstborn which is born from one of the children which was already given to the Jew. However, part of their agreement is that if the Jew doesn't end up paying, then the non-Jew will be able to collect payment even from the children of the children of the animals which he buys. And because he has that particular right over these children, the third generation essentially, they would also be exempt from being given to a Kohen. This is known as the concept of Yad Nochri Bo Emtza, which literally means the hand of the non-Jew is in the middle. And all that means is that there is a certain level of monetary right which the non-Jew has, that if certain conditions are reached, he will be able to collect those children animals. Now, this ability of the non-Jew to collect a certain portion of the children of the animals which he is selling to the Jew during this period of time until the Jew has paid, this is part of the understood agreement, even if they don't stipulate it explicitly. That's what the general agreement is between people who do such a deal. And therefore there's no need to explicitly state it within their specific agreement. And as such, if the Jew explicitly said to the non-Jew that he'll be able to take a portion of the children, since it wasn't necessary to say that, we understand it to mean that he's giving over the rights to the non-Jew to an additional generation. So the children of the children of the animals which he is selling the non-Jew. The non-Jew technically has a certain right over that. We reach the concept of Yad Nochri Bo Emtza, and therefore Valdei Vlodei Peturin. Even those firstborns which are born from the children of the animals which are being sold to the non-Jew Peturin, to the Jew Peturin, they would be exempt from this mitzvah of giving the firstborns to the Kohen. Valdei Vlodei. Whereas the children of the children of the children of the animals which are being sold to the Jew, Chayavin, they would be obligated, meaning the fifth generation, their firstborns will need to be given to a Kohen. Shimon Gamliel says that actually the understood agreement between them is that for any of the generations in the future, during this period of time, the non-Jew is able to collect from even the great-great-great-grandchildren, Afilu al Asara Doiris, even until 10 generations, plus Peturin, they would be exempt, Shacharusan Lanochri, because the non-Jew does have a certain right to collect them under certain conditions. Mishnah Hey, Rochel, a female sheep, a mother sheep, Sheyolbukim and Aes, who give birth to a firstborn which has the features of a goat. Of a male goat, the Aes, or a mother goat, Sheyolbukim and Rochel, which gave birth to a firstborn which has the features of a sheep, which is not its own species, Potam and Abuchayra, that animal would not be included in the obligation of giving the firstborn to the Kohen. And this is learnt from Pesukim, that seem to emphasize that the firstborn child has to have the same features and be very clearly the same species as the mother animal. However, the Mishnah says, "V'mi yesh b'mikzah simonin," if it does possess certain features of the mother, and it can be somewhat recognized as being the same species and the child of that mother sheep or goat, chayev, then it would be obligated and it would be included in the regular obligation of giving the firstborn to a kohen. However, it should be noted that this would be considered a firstborn which has a wound. Having totally different features to what was expected is considered to be a very significant wound, and therefore the Kohen would not bring this up as a korban, but rather he would be able to benefit from it himself and eat it together with other Kohanim and his family.